Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Thema van deze dienst is omgaan met tegenslagen. En als je naar Amerika kijkt, dat volk wordt zwaar getroffen. Dan kun je zeggen eigen schuld, maar heel veel mensen lijden daaronder. En bisschop Blake spreekt daarover in de Crystal Cathedral. Hij heeft een gemeente met 24.000 mensen die elke zondag naar zijn dienst komen. Dus een hele goede spreker. Ik hoop dat je heel erg zult genieten van deze uitzending van Hour of Power met veel muziek en onder andere het koor van de Crystal Cathedral wat een paar geweldige liederen zingt.
Join us today for the best hour on television, the Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Welcome to a place where we're going to tune in to the eternal Spirit of God. And He is the ultimate positive thinker. So you're going to hear positive thoughts here. They'll come to your mind. Don't dismiss them. Take them seriously. For God is here to connect with you. Now, I want a special welcome to our international representatives of our ministry. This ministry is in many countries, and the leaders in these countries come together once a year here for coordination. And where are they seated? Raise your hands. Oh, yeah. Terrific, aren't they? Oh, they come from China, Russia, everything in between. Welcome. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear God, we're surely not alone in this universe. There are all those lives that are not made out of meat and bones and hair and blood like we are, but they're specially created, the angels. And you and your son Jesus. We're in a spiritual universe, God, and thank you for creating this and for making us a part of it, for taking us out of the cold, secular world where there are no happy tears of joy in Christ, and to bring us to a place where we can laugh and cry and dream and feel your presence. Amen. may be seated. In preparation for today's message, hear these words from Psalm 18, a song of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord these words on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. He said, think of it. These words were spoken, put down in writing, have been preserved by the Jewish people in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament, and today are still strong, powerful. He wrote, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Oh God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice in the temple. My cry came before him, even to his ears. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord has been proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. A very unusual person, Bill Dallas, the founder and CEO of the Church Communication Network, a satellite and internet communications company that serves over 6,000 churches across North America. Our ministry partnered with him in our Faith Forward movement and Rethink conferences. Today, Bill is here to share how God reached into his life. After graduating from Vanderbilt University with a distinguished degree, he went on into business and made some bad decisions that eventually caused him to lose his thriving real estate business and sent him to San Quentin State Prison. There are prisons and there are prisons and there are prisons, and then there is San Quentin. He was finally released in 1995, but during his time in prison, God captured his heart. He's detailed his journey in his new book, Lessons from San Quentin. Everything I needed to know about life I learned in prison. That's the book. Welcome with me, Bill Dallas.
Thank you, Dr. Spiller.
I can see Jesus Christ in your light, but I can't roll it back to find out how you landed in San Quentin for 2.5 years. years? Could you hear the iron door clang behind you?
I heard it, and I thought I was never going to get out. I'd made some very poor choices prior to being sentenced. I was not a Christ follower. I cut every corner imaginable, and deservedly so, I ended up in San Quentin. But I'd come to know Christ just before I went into prison. But when I went into prison, it was the true test of my faith. And it brought me to my knees, literally. I would go down to the prison yard at San Quentin every day, and I would go on the ground, and I would crawl up in a ball in the fetal position, unbathed, unshaven, crying. And this is as a believer in Christ, praying to God like Elijah prayed to God under the broom tree, take my life, I've had enough. And I thought I was never going to get out of that prison experience.
You were not born and raised in a heavy Christian environment. When did you become a Christian?
After I'd lost everything in real estate, just before I was about to go to prison. I was in my penthouse. I had all the fancy cars and the clothes and every toy that went with it. And I lived a very wild lifestyle. But it was all started being taken away from me because it was all being repossessed and taken. And just before my penthouse was taken, I was there one Sunday night and I was by myself. And I don't know why, but I felt this emptiness that I'd never felt before in my life. And I dropped to my hands and knees, and I asked Christ into my heart. And I remembered a saying I'd heard when I occasionally go to Young Life when I was in high school, that the leader had mentioned about Blaise Pascal, said that we're all created with a God-shaped vacuum, and until you put God in his rightful place, you will go through your whole life searching to fill that hole with things. Well, I did. You know, I did it with sex, and I did it with money, and I did it with cars, and I did it with career and everything else you can imagine. But it never fulfilled the whole until I asked Christ in my heart. And there began my journey with Christ. But because of so many of the things I'd done in the past, my salvation was secure and my emptiness was now full. But there was things from my past that I knew now I was going to have to deal with, and one of them was my real estate dealings. So a few months later, I ended up getting arrested and then ultimately settled on a situation where I went to San Quentin to serve 2.5 years. So I had the relationship with Christ, but I had a lot of things to deal with. And then I ended up going to San Quentin, and as mentioned, it was the toughest, most difficult time I'd ever experienced in my life. And I thought, as a believer, that I was never going to get out. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we have the relationship with Christ, but then when tough times come, we wonder, how do we get through them? I mean, how do we get through it when God, he has saved us, but how does he save us through our difficulties and circumstances? And through a few miraculous things that happened while I was in prison, God was able to not only get me through the experience, but he was able to grow my character and give me strength that I never knew that I had. And I think two of the things that really got me through the process was, one, I was occasionally being encouraged with things that I would read. One of the things which was amazing, I got a pamphlet from the Possibility Thinking Institute, Dr. Robert Schuller. And in it, I remember reading in the yard things like, tough times never last, but tough people do. And one of my all-time favorites, inch by inch, anything's a cinch, and which proved that if you could just keep walking, you can get through it. But the second thing which God orchestrated, and God orchestrated my mistakes for something good, is he introduced me to a group of lifers, people that had been in prison for 15, 20, 25 years, murderers, kidnappers, and others, who I at first thought, before I went to prison, were the worst of the worst, and there was nothing good to be found in these people. But they had miraculous transformation in prison with Christ, and they were new people, and they became my brothers who grew me and walked me and taught me how to live a Christ life. In fact, one of the reasons why I wrote the book, Lessons from San Quentin, wasn't just so much about my story, it was about their story. About how do you really walk in difficult times, like what's happening today in our economy, what's going on with marriage, and when things are tough, how do you get through it? They showed me that you can get through the toughest of tough times. It may not be a physical prison, it may be the prison of your mind. You can get through it.
Yes.
And I, when I was told that I was invited to come speak here, two of the inmates, former inmates that actually were in prison for over 20 years, two of my brothers that helped me walk through the most difficult time of my life, paroled just recently, and they live in this area, so I invited them to come today, and they're here actually, sitting right down in front.
Would they stand?
I think they would, and it's Ben Vaughn and V. Lee, two of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. These are men that really understand what it means to walk through the most difficult times of our life and to come out on the other side, not hardened, but have a soft heart, not giving up, but being stronger, and ultimately helping others. And, you know, my book, my life is a tribute to men like this.
You're wearing a wedding band. There's a lot of stories behind that, I'm sure. But I didn't realize you were happily married until this morning when I saw the band. Put a tear in my eye. God loves you. So do I. Thank you.
Thank you.
koor van de Crystal Cathedral zong, begeleid en onder begeleiding van Don Hoewe, de dynamische dirigent, The Majesty and Glory of Your Name. De majesteit en grootheid van de naam van God, daar ging het over. In deze jubileumbaan, want we vieren dat we 10 jaar Hour of Power uitzenden, interviewen ook kijkers die door een interview, door een gesprek of door een lied geboeid of geraakt zijn. En vanmorgen is mijn gast Hans Rentenaar. Hans, laten we daarmee beginnen voordat ik over je leven ga praten. Wat gebeurde er toen jij... Waar hoorde je dit lied?
Nou, ik heb 3,5 jaar in Spanje gewoond. En nou ja, zoals je weet wonen er overwegend katholieken in Spanje. 70 miljoen. En ik keek iedere zondagmorgen en nu nog steeds naar de Hour of Power. En daar hoorde ik dat lied. Hè? En ik werd er enorm door geraakt. Het was alsof ik rechtstreeks in mijn hart geraakt word. En dat is ook de reden... Het heeft me geëmotioneerd op dat moment. Ik kreeg er tranen van in mijn ogen. En ja, dat heeft mijn leven toch al enigszins veranderd en mijn geloof versterkt. En die liefde die ik eigenlijk op dat moment voelde en de grootsheid van het lied. Het was, voor mij kwam het over alsof het door engelen gezongen wordt. Ja, dat kan me nog steeds enorm raken. En ja, eigenlijk heb ik daar mijn leven ook een beetje op aangepast. He, vroeger werd ik bijvoorbeeld door in kerken of op school niet zo snel geboeid. En nu achteraf weet ik eigenlijk dat ik altijd op zoek ben geweest naar een spreker of een kerk of een liederen die me raakt in mijn hart. En dat is ook nu hetgene waar we ons in ons dagelijks leven mee bezighouden. Met mensen te raken en te zoeken naar wat brengt mij nou tot leven.
Want je bent, je houdt je bezig met trainingen van mensen.
Ja.
Maar voordat ik daarover begin, vertel eens iets over jouw wilde leven. Want je hebt over de hele wereld gezworven, hè?
Ja, ik ben geboren in Australië. Als jongste van 4 jongens. Dus ik kom echt uit een mannengezin. En ik ben christelijk opgevoed. Ik heb hele lieve christelijke ouders. En we zijn naar Nederland gegaan toen ik heel jong was. Toen ik 13 was, zijn we weer naar Australië geëmigreerd. Toen ik 14 was, zijn we weer naar Nederland geëmigreerd.
Nou, van waar die onrust?
Ja, van waar die onrust. Ja, toch nog een keer het proberen in Australië. Hè, dat was toch wel een grote liefde van mij. Vooral met mijn vader. Wilde graag zich vestigen in Australië. En de tweede keer is het niet gelukt. En zijn we toch weer naar Nederland gegaan. En daar ben ik blij om. Hè. We zijn hier blij. Alhoewel, 1 broer woont nog in Perth in Australië. En die zie ik niet zoveel. Dat vind ik dan jammer. Maar we spreken elkaar toch af en toe.
Ik ben blij dat Hour of Power veel voor je betekent. Keek in Australië, keek in Spanje, kijk nu in Nederland. Wat trekt jou zo aan?
Er wordt over Jezus verteld. Er wordt uit de Bijbel gesproken. Er komen sprekers die daar een levensverhaal vertellen. Hè, zoals de zus van Dr. Phil bijvoorbeeld, die allemaal zuur over haar heen heeft gehad. En daar vertelde wat ze daaraan gedaan heeft. Het zijn allemaal verhalen die me bij zijn gebleven. En de verhalen die ik vaak in de kerk hoor, minder bij zijn gebleven. En wil niks zetten nadelen, er zijn ook hele goede kerken natuurlijk. Hè? En ik vind het enorm knap wat dominee Schuller doet. Hè? Die man op zo'n leeftijd nog zoveel mensen het woord verkondigt. Op zijn manier, op zijn goede manier, want hij heeft niet voor niks zoveel miljoenen kijkers. En een paar weken geleden zat hier nog een jonge dame op de bank. Wiens leven gered is door de woorden van dominee Schuller. Hè? Toen hij zei, God loves you and so do I. En dat spreekt mij heel erg aan.
Ja. Je houdt je bezig met mensen, bijvoorbeeld unieke trainingen, die single zijn. Hè?
Onder andere, ja.
Vertel eens wat van.
Nou, wij horen vaak van singles, van dames bijvoorbeeld, dat alle leuke mannen al bezet zijn. Of van mannen die zeggen, nou, leuke vrouwen die lopen niet meer rond of ze zien niets in mij. Maar de zoektocht begint bij je hart. Je kan pas echt contact maken met een ander als je contact maakt met je hart. Met je hoofd contact maken kun je niet. Als je van een kind houdt, dan hou je je kind niet tegen je hoofd. Je houdt je kind tegen je hart. En God kijkt bijvoorbeeld in onze harten. Dus het hart is heel belangrijk. En we merken heel vaak tijdens de trainingen, ook zakelijke trainingen, dat er heel veel, vooral mannen ook, zo moeilijk in hun hart kunnen kijken. En een zachte kant kunnen tonen. En juist...
Ja, maar dat is toch ook niet mannelijk om je zachte kant...
Nee, dat is juist heel mannelijk. Hè? Want, vaak wordt er ook bijvoorbeeld een beetje soft over Jezus verteld. Hè, Jezus, de man die in onze harten kijkt. Maar Jezus was juist een zeer karaktervol man, een hele sterke man. Die tegen de gevestigde orde inging in die tijd. Hij ging haaks tegen de farizeeën in, tegen de schriftgeleerden. Hij nam geen softies als discipelen, maar hij nam hele sterke vissersmannen mee. Hè, om samen met hen het woord te verkondigen. En hij ging niet naar de mooie, naar de tempels toe. Hij ging naar de hoeren toe en naar de tollenaars. En naar, ja, mensen zoals jij en ik. En ik ben ook een man met mijn fouten. En ik moet ook iedere dag toch proberen om dicht bij God weer te komen. Wil ik goed blijven presteren en dat lukt niet altijd.
Je komt over als een heel stoer iemand, zelfverzekerd. Maar heb jij ook een zachte kant?
Nou, als ik aan mijn zachte kant denk, moet ik gelijk aan mijn twee dochters denken. Ik heb twee fantastische dochters. En als ik dan hoor dat God van ons houdt alsof wij zijn kinderen zijn, dan hoef ik alleen maar te denken hoe ik van mijn dochtertjes hou. Zoveel betekent ik voor hem. Nou, en als ik nou dat weet, hoeveel ik voor hem betekent, hoe kan ik dan andere kerken veroordelen of andere mensen veroordelen of dominee Schulen veroordelen of zijn zoon? Hè? Het is niet aan mij. En als ik dan ook naar mijn kinderen kijk, wat me verdriet doet, is als mijn dochtertjes naar elkaar wijzen van, hé, jij doet dat fout, jij doet dat fout. En je moet papa zo behandelen. Nee, je moet papa op die manier behandelen. Ik hou van allebei op een eigen manier. Ze zijn allebei een individu. Ja.
Heb jij wel eens ergens verdriet om?
Jazeker. Ik word verdrietig van veroordelende mensen. Ja.
Kun je niet tegen?
Daar word ik verdrietig van, ja. Daar word ik verdrietig van. Want er staat zo duidelijk in de Bijbel, wie oordeelt zal veroordeeld worden. Nee? Je kan toch veel beter positief met elkaar bezig zijn. Ik sprak toevallig iemand aan de telefoon afgelopen week en binnen een minuut had diegene het over dominee Schuller, wat een oude man. En ik denk van, nou, die man die heeft tegen mij gezegd, turn your scars into stars. Weet je wel?
Wonden in wonderen.
Verander je wonden in wonderen. Dat is toch prachtig?
Ja.
Want we zijn toch allemaal maar gewone mensen, Jan?
Precies. Wat is jouw wens voor Hour of Power?
Mijn wens is dat ze nog heel lang blijven bestaan en dat er nog veel meer kijkers bijkomen en mensen die daardoor geraakt zullen worden door het mooie muziek. En we zijn begonnen met
de beat. Majesty and Glory.
Ja, dat heel veel mensen die rust kunnen vinden, die ik ook gevonden heb. Mede door de Hour of Power en ook alle andere kerken. Ja.
Heel fijn dat je hier vanmorgen was. Ik geef je, het is heerlijk weer buiten. Hè?
Lekker.
Prachtig, ja. En ik ga je zo meteen wat geven, laat ik even zien. Krachtige belofte voor u. Een nieuw boekje van Hour of Power hebben we net aan al onze donateurs gestuurd. Het is een gids naar troost en bemoediging. En er staan aan de hand van bijbelteksten hele mooie dingen in over zware tijden en over tegenstand en tegenspoed en bemoedigende bijbelteksten. Ik geef het graag aan je mee.
Nou, dank je
wel. Lees er zo af en toe eens in.
Ga ik zeker doen.
Hans, bedankt.
Jan, bedankt.
Oké. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Through my doubts and fears, you dried my tears and said, child, just trust in me. And through it all, I'll help you to be what you speak about, what you sing about, when you tell the world of just believe. I'm a God who is bigger than your circumstance. Just believe. I'm a God who will do just what I said. Just believe, even when you cannot see. But you know me, just choose to believe. Oh, he's a God who brings the sun up in the morning, yeah. And with his mighty hand, he keeps the land back
Thank you, Bridget.
I know I told you that I intend to invite the greatest preachers in the world that speak English to come and bring us their messages from Sunday to Sunday in this place. I expect to be with all of them, and I want to hear them all preach because they're the world's greatest preachers. And today, I'm so proud to have with us Bishop Charles E. Blake. He's pastor of West Angeles Church of God in Christ with a membership of over 24,000 people. Deeply involved in the spiritual life, but also 80 programs for the psychological, social, and economic needs. Founder and CEO of Save Africa's Children, he oversees the support of more than 100,000 children in 340 orphans programs throughout more than 23 nations on the continent of Africa. Bishop Blake is married to May Lawrence Blake. They have 3 children, 7 grandchildren. And thank you for coming, Bishop Blake.
Dr. Shuler, you don't know what an impact, what a transforming influence your life has been in the lives of so many men and women on the face of the earth. Pastors, members of churches, and people who've never gone to church have been so blessed by your ministry. Dr. Robert Shuler. I want to talk to you today about overcoming negative circumstances and negative emotions. Overcoming negative circumstances and negative emotions. I want to read from the 18th Psalm, starting with verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. One of the most important abilities that a person can have is the ability to endure and to rise above negative circumstances and negative emotions. Now, all of us are familiar with the influence of circumstances. We frequently predict the potential success of a venture based on the circumstances that surround the endeavor. Circumstances are the criteria for the success of the endeavor. And a common excuse for failure is that it was due to circumstances beyond our control. So many are more intent on changing their circumstances than they are on dealing with themselves and preparing to deal with the circumstances. For them, circumstances are the primary thing. And so you hear it every day. If I just lived in a different town, if I had a different house, a different apartment, I need to get away from my family. My husband, my wife is just dragging me down. I'm tired of my neighborhood. I'm tired of my job. I need a change in circumstances. But it was Samuel Lover who said, circumstances are the rulers of the weak. but they are the instruments of the poor. And Napoleon said, circumstances, I make circumstances. The same circumstances that can destroy one person can make another person. Arnold Toynbee said, great civilizations are born in circumstances where everything is nice and comfortable, but rather in environments that are unusually difficult. Thus, it is not the circumstance that is the important thing. It is one's response to his circumstances that are the important thing. Let's also say a few words about negative emotions. Frequently, our emotions are based on and wedded to our circumstances. And our conscious feelings, our psychological reactions, are based on our real or imagined perception of our environment. Thus, one would be afraid or angry or distressed because of the things that were happening in their vicinity. But there are some who are troubled emotionally despite their good environment. They enjoy a higher level of prosperity than they've ever known. Physically, they're reasonably secure and healthy, but still they are plagued by negative emotions. So many people today are sorrowful, distressed, fearful, and they have no idea why they feel the way they feel. Their emotions have made life almost unbearable for them. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 14, the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So many are incapacitated in their ability to respond to their challenges and to their difficulties because they're wounded on the inside. And they cannot rise above their predicament. Let's take a look at some of the circumstances that David faced in Psalm 18. And the first thing that he says about his circumstance is that there were enemies in his environment. Saul hated him because of his skill in warfare and because of his popularity. Saul hated him because God had chosen David to be king instead of Saul. The Philistines hated him because he killed their champion, the giant Goliath. Some people hated him only because they found out that Saul hated him. And then other people hated him for no particular reason. They just hated him. You know that people don't really need a reason to hate you or to be your enemy. If you live, you will have enemies. But even more, don't be prominent. Don't have special skills. Don't be successful. Don't do anything outstanding or progressive. Don't take an unpopular point of view, because if you do, you will be hated and you will have enemies. But not only were enemies a prominent aspect of David's environment, he says that floods of ungodly men were all around him. And a predominance of ungodly men would make life much more difficult, especially if you were striving to live a life of integrity and a life of righteousness. His was a wicked and a dangerous world. David also says that he was surrounded by unpleasantness and by pain. He says that he was compassed about by the sorrows of death and hell. David was also confronted by some very unpleasant emotions. mentions in this psalm fear and sorrow and distress. Certain things made David afraid. And people are afraid about many things today. They're afraid regarding the stability of their marriage. They're afraid because of their concern for the welfare of their children. They're afraid about insecurity on their job. They're afraid about economic conditions in their community, relationships, personal welfare, and safety. There are some who don't know what they are afraid of. In this turbulent world, you need to know who God is, how God feels about you, and what God can do in your life. In the space of three short verses, David made several significant observations about his God. He calls God his strength. He calls God his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, his stronghold. And he says that God is worthy to be praised. And so David might well have addressed these words not only as a prayer to God, I will love you, O Lord, but he addressed them as a statement to himself and as a challenge to his circumstances and to his emotions. Old Roberts once said, stop telling God about your terrible problem mountains and start telling your mountains about your God, your great God, your mighty God. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. For those of you who face bad circumstances, for those of you who nurse an emotionally wounded spirit, the text offers for us a strategy. It sets forth a proper response to our negative emotions and to our negative circumstances. The text proposes four significant keys to victory. And you will note that each of these keys will begin with the word, I will. And the fourth one starts with the word, so shall I be saved. In other words, I shall be saved. This implies personal decisiveness. It implies an act of the will. Don't just stand there and be destroyed. Don't just stand there and be defeated. Exercise your will. Act, move, decide. Determine that you will rise above your circumstance. I had a friend who said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You may have met him at one time or another. And so the text says in Psalm 18:1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And that's key number one. I will love you, O Lord. To love God is an appropriate response to God, because love is the predominant sentiment and commitment that God has toward us. The Apostle Paul says that loving God will have a creative and synthesizing effect upon your life. For in Romans 8:28, Paul said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Loving God, pursuing God's purpose, will summons the power of God to so organize and synthesize your life that it will work together for you're good. And then in Psalm 18 and verse 2, David said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And that's key number 2. I will trust God. If you don't trust God, you will be overwhelmed by worry and by fear. If you trust God, you will overcome worry and fear. The struggle of life is great enough without having to bear the added burden of worry and fear. I was a tired traveler in a hotel in a city far away, riding the elevator up to my room. I had heavy luggage in both of my hands, a heavy suitcase on the right, another on the left. So there I stood, riding the elevator, carrying my heavy luggage. But a thought came to me, and the thought was this: put the luggage down. The elevator can carry both you and your luggage. I put it down, and I arrived at my floor less burdened and less weary than I was before. Put your worry down. Put your fear down. God can carry both you and the things that you worry about. And then in Psalm 18 and verse 3, David says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. That's key number 3. We've got to work as if it all depended on us. But then we've also got to pray as if it all depended on God. When we invite God into our lives, we must allow Him to take charge of our lives, and we must submit to the will of God. He may not answer as we expect or when we expect. But God said, call unto me and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Key number 4 is also found in Psalm 18, verse 3. The psalmist says, so shall I be saved from my enemies. I shall be saved. I shall survive this. I will be rescued. I will come through this. This will not destroy me. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that trust in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. David said, I shall be saved. But this is more than just an analytical prediction. It is a statement of determination and a statement of commitment. It is a statement of firm resolve. It's a proclamation that he will not be defeated by negative circumstances and by negative emotions, but rather he will overcome them and he will march on to victory. My friend, God will not allow you to be confronted by anything that you and he cannot handle together. If you confront it with God's help, you can deal with it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but he will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You can deal with it. You can bear it. You can endure it and you will come through it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. The biblical character, Job, experienced the disintegration of everything he loved on the earth. Everything he loved on earth turned to vapor before his very eyes. But Job said in Job 23 and 10, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth like gold. I'm going to come through this. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to overcome this. And I hope that some of you today will say, whatever you're dealing with, I will come out of this. And I'll come out not with a whimper or a sigh, but with a shout of victory. This tough time will not defeat me. This tough time will not cause me to surrender. I pray that every one of you will love God. I pray that you will trust God. As you focus on loving God, trusting Him, and calling on Him, the things that you're worried about will fall back further and further into the distance, and your focus will be on God. I pray that you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. I pray that you will live abundantly, not only now, but throughout all eternity. Don't give up. Love God. Trust God. Call on God. You shall be saved.
The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you stand all alone in front of Jesus and give you peace forevermore. Amen.
Zo zijn we gekomen aan een inspirerende uitzending van Hour of Power. Omgaan met tegenslagen. En vaak als het allemaal voorspoedig gaat, dan is het leven makkelijk en lacht de zon je toe. Maar juist in tegenslagen wordt je getest. Ik vond het een prachtig voorbeeld van bisschop Blake. Die zei, ik stond in de lift en ik hield mijn koffers vast, terwijl ik ze beter op de grond had kunnen zetten. Prachtig voorbeeld. Dus zet je lasten neer. En ik hoop dat ook deze programma's helpen om vrij te zijn. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Kijk vooral eens op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. En ik hoop dat we er volgende week zondag weer zijn met een hele mooie uitzending. Iedereen bedankt voor het kijken en graag tot volgende week.